verse 3. Luke chapter 11, verse 3. This is the reading of God's word. Give us each day our daily bread. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that by your grace, an ear to hear your word will be granted to all of us, that we may truly hear, so our faith will grow, and will grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, through your word that we see what our Lord has accomplished for us. And Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will hear your word, and not only we understand and believe, but we also obey your word. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through the book of Luke, we are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God through his work and his teachings. He witnesses the reality of that kingdom. And the Lord's Prayer is the same. Even as he teaches us how to pray, when we understand what we are praying in the Lord's Prayer, it also tells us what kind of salvation has been accomplished and what is true of us because of that salvation. Jesus Christ has accomplished all things that now our God is our Father. So we begin our prayer addressing our God as our Father. And because of Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished our eternal salvation, that God's name has been hallowed and will be hallowed through his people now and forever. And because of what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished, God's kingdom has begun. It has come. Now in our study of the Lord's Prayer, we come to what we call us or our portion of the Lord's Prayer. Today, give us each day our daily bread. And verse 4, forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation. So as we begin us and our portion of the prayer, we need to remind ourselves that our God's will is that all of his people be blessed forever. And even God's name being hallowed and his kingdom coming are fulfilled by his people being forever blessed. Meaning that all of that will be fulfilled by the perfect salvation of God's people. We must understand how great God's grace is for us is. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6b, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? Indeed, our God is for us. He is concerned about us. Well, give us each day our daily bread, or give us day by day our daily bread. What are we praying for? Matthew has it a little bit different. He says, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord's Prayer that we recite every Lord's Day, it comes from Matthew rather than Luke. But ultimately, they mean the same thing. And what is the issue here is the meaning of the word that has been translated as daily. This word only appears here in Matthew chapter 6, another place where we find the Lord's Prayer. And this word does not appear in any other Greek literature, meaning it's really hard to translate this word. There's a word with the same root, appears only once, but it does not help that much when it comes to knowing the meaning of the word. Like I said, it is a very difficult word to translate, and all the Greek scholars, they have translated this word in at least three different ways. So it could be translated in at least three different ways. First, like we have it, daily bread, meaning the bread that we need to survive a day. So daily bread. Second, it could be translated as a needful bread, the bread that we need. Or third, the bread for tomorrow, or the bread for the coming day, meaning the heavenly bread, ultimately. But all three meanings are biblical. Daily bread, needful bread, or bread for tomorrow. Well, you could find passages in the Bible pointing to all three views. So, in this case, it would be beneficial for us to understand this word in all three ways, and you combine all three ways, and when you pray, you are praying all three ways. Well, we will look at all three meanings in a reverse order. So we start from the bread for tomorrow. The bread for tomorrow, or the bread for the coming day, or ultimately heavenly bread. So when we pray, we're saying, give us today, or give us each day, the bread for tomorrow. Now, this principle is absolutely biblical. This principle comes up in the Old Testament. God gave the Israelites the manna. Exodus 16, verse 5, on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Exodus 16, verse 22 and 23, now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation come and told Moses, then he said to them, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning. So what do we see there? On the sixth day, God gives the bread for tomorrow, the bread for the seventh day. But that bread for tomorrow, in that context, is the bread for the Sabbath. And if we understand what Sabbath is pointing to, then that bread is pointing to the bread for heaven, or bread of heaven. So on the sixth day, the bread for the Sabbath is given. Thus, we see the overlapping of the sixth day and the seventh day. So we already see the principle of already, but not yet, exist together. It points to the reality in which our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. You and I, we live every day the life that belongs to the sixth day, but spiritually speaking, we live the life that belongs to the seventh day. So we live the life that belongs to the overlapping of the end of the world and the beginning of heaven. That's our reality. So if we look at this prayer in these terms, It means give us each day the day of the bread of heaven. As we live the life of the sixth day, give us the bread of the seventh day, the bread of heaven. That's one way of understanding this prayer. And we do pray like this. It is our desire that God would do this, that as we live our lives here on earth, that He would give us the bread that belongs to heaven. So looking at that way, we're actually praying for that. So as we live our life of the sixth day, give us the bread of the seventh day. But if you understand the bread of heaven, Bible tells us that bread of heaven is Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 27, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on Him the Father God has set His seal. The food that endures to eternal life. Jesus explains, John chapter 6, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. He is speaking of Himself, bread of heaven, coming down from heaven. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So, we're asking, give us each day Jesus Christ as our spiritual food. Because He is the bread of heaven, bread for tomorrow. So let us live by eating His Word. That's what we're praying. We need to eat Jesus Christ. We need to eat His Word. So give us each day Jesus Christ, the heavenly bread, the bread for tomorrow. See, Jesus is our spiritual food. Whenever we participate in the Lord's Supper, we witness that reality. John chapter 6, verse 55, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. But remember that the word of Jesus Christ is also our spiritual food. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Just like newborn baby, when they're hungry, they cry, so their mother will give them milk. Just like that newborn baby, God tells us that you long for the pure milk of the Word. So when somebody claims that he's Christian and doesn't care about God's Word, meaning that they're not hungry for God's Word. Oh, there's something very, very wrong about that person. It's so natural for newborn baby to seek out milk. Just like a new Christian, we seek out His Word because we're hungry. And only that milk, the pure milk, milk of the Word, can satisfy our hunger. So you understand, if we understand that prayer in this term, then we are asking every each day our spiritual food, the bread of tomorrow, Jesus Christ, His Word. Now we go to the second meaning, needful bread, the bread that we need, give us that bread. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8b says, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food that is my portion. Or ESV says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. If we see this prayer in this way, then what are we saying? We are actually, as we say this prayer, we are confessing that our God is our provider. We depend on our God every day for giving us everything we need. So we pray, give us each day our needful bread. And you could see that many people are so arrogant, even Christians, who believe that they are living according to their own abilities and power. Don't you think that God has anything to do with how you are today, even into what family you are born, what kind of college you went to, what kind of job you have? Do you think that it's just completely separate from God and His will? It was all you on your own ability and power that you do what you do? Or you pray this prayer, confessing your dependence on God. Give us what we need. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, if anyone supposes that he knows everything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your father as it is this day. So when we pray, give us each day the needful bread, we are acknowledging God in all things. We are confessing our dependence and reliance on God and God alone. So obviously, if you understand that way as you pray, it's biblical. But like I said, it would be best to combine all these three. So whenever you pray, you are saying all three ways. And sometimes, you know, that's all. Well, only we could do that because we really don't know clearly how we should translate that word. The third meaning, the daily bread, the one that we are used to when we say, give us this day our daily bread, or give each day our daily bread. But what is daily bread? Well, the bread we need to survive a day. That's daily bread. And there was daily bread of the Old Testament. Manna. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instructions. And Exodus 16 verse 18, when they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. So they went out and gathered a daily bread. God orders them to gather exactly how much they need for that day. However, Exodus 16, verse 19 and 20, Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it until morning. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. They became greedy. They want to collect more than a daily bread. But if you trust God to give you daily bread so that you don't have to worry about what to eat tomorrow, and you just gather daily bread, you are living a life that clearly shows that you trust God. And this was God's will for His people, even from the Old Testament. But we could see ourselves in this Israelites. We're not, you know, I'm not just speaking about you, I'm speaking about myself. We don't trust God. Nobody does in this room. We worry what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. We do not trust God. Just like us, they did not obey God. Only the true believers with faith that God has given, they are the ones who would obey. Only the ones who truly believe that God will give them what they need every single day, they are the only ones who are to obey this. So many times you and I do not trust God. And my question to you and to myself is, are you satisfied with the daily bread? Or you have to have more. And I have to have more. Daily bread is just not good enough. Will you be satisfied if God just gives you only the daily bread? Are you going to be satisfied? Because you know it's coming tomorrow. You don't have to worry because it will come every single day. But are you? Will you be satisfied if that's what God does, gives you only the daily bread? But why did God give the manna? Bible explains, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know that. Why did He give them manna? That He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. As we trust our God would give us the daily bread so faithfully, and as we seek the daily bread so that we don't have to worry about those kind of stuff, so that we could focus on God. This is God's will for us. But just like Israelites, I don't see, even for myself, I don't see many Christians who actually live this way. And when we read about Israelites, how they gather more than what they need and it goes spoil, and you say, oh man, how can they don't obey God? Well, we live the same way. There's nothing better about us than these sinful Israelites of the Old Testament. You know, it's so hard, almost impossible to obey God in this way unless God gives you that faith that is needed. But see, you and I, our faith is so small. It's so hard for us to trust God. See, as we trust our God that He will give us daily bread, and as we seek the daily bread, we are to forsake the world. We are to witness that we do not live by the worldly bread, but we actually live by the Word of God. Because life, eternal life, is not about our life here on earth. You could live 80 years, 90 years, and you will die forever. But we live forever. But we live forever, not by worldly bread, but by the Word of God. And we are to witness that to the world. That I have to show the world that, hey, I don't live by the worldly bread. Even if I don't have the worldly bread, even if I die, I will still live because I live by the Word of God. But God told us not to worry about what to eat, which means we're not going to die of hunger. We're just not going to be able to live that luxurious life that we're enjoying. And, you know, when you enjoy that and give all the glory to God and all that, that's fine if you are not greedy. But we want more. Even though God gave us heaven, we still want more in this world. Only the work of the Holy Spirit will enable us to live that kind of life. Because it's just so hard for us to live that kind of life. Because we're lacking in faith. So give us each day our daily bread. Don't just say it, brothers and sisters. Realize what you are asking. And if you don't really mean it, then there's something really wrong in what we do, even in our worship. We do ask Him for daily bread, and as soon as worship is over, daily bread? No. At least, I'm not saying don't say it. I'm just saying at least repent, even as you say. Because you want to say it with your heart, and yet because of your sinfulness, it's so hard to say it with whole of heart. So I'm sorry, God, but I do want to desire to be able to say this with my sincere heart. Don't just memorize and just say these things. Don't just do the lip service to God. Because God looks at your heart, not what you say with your lips. Jesus says this in John chapter 4, verse 32. But Jesus said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? You know, Jesus says, I have food. Don't worry about me. I have food that you don't know about. And then disciples saying, well, did somebody give him food that we didn't see, we didn't know? But Jesus says to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus' food is to do the will of God. Do you know this food? You could have it abundantly. In this case, this food. Want it as much as you want. Give us each day our daily bread. Just like in the Old Testament, God gave them the manna every day faithfully so that they didn't have to worry about what to eat, so that they could focus on God. It is our confession as we pray this that we also pray that our God will give us each day our daily bread so that we don't have to worry about what to eat, but we could focus on God. Because we know that God will provide. And even if I die, I live forever in Jesus Christ. Just like the Apostle Paul, we must learn Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak from want, meaning lack, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know, that last verse is so misused. I go to some business, they hang this word on the wall. I am able to do all things. But what is the context? Paul is saying, I am able to do even when I don't have anything that I rejoice in God. Yes, he is able to do that. That's what he is meaning. Not like, okay, I could do everything so I could make this business a multi-million dollar business. That's not what that word is saying. And yet they put that word on the wall as if that's what God is saying with those words. No. But this gives us so much joy because Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. Which means we are able to learn also. It's something we have to learn. And learn from the Word of God. So no matter what happens, we're content. Because of what I understand and believe about my eternal reality. Because my joy is not in these worldly things or what happens in this world. My joy is in Christ. And Christ never changes. So my joy will always remain. Remember, when Paul said this, he was in a prison. It wasn't like he was enjoying vacation and oh yeah, when you are having so much fun out there, you could say this kind of stuff. No, he was in a prison when he said this. And this is the truth. If it was not true, then it would not be appearing in the Bible. Bible is the truth. Meaning when Paul actually says these things, it was actually true. He wasn't pretending. He wasn't thinking to himself, well, even though I don't feel this way, I have to say these things because people will read this. So I have to say. No, Paul was not doing that. It was truth. Which means it's something that we could do also when we learn it. At least we need to be very honest. Yeah, it's just almost impossible for us unless God gives us grace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18a, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. Oh yeah, that's why he's in prison. But if you think about spiritual gifts, you do have in abundance. You have everything you need forever and ever. That's the reality. Unless you refuse to believe it. That's what is true of you. See, through the Bible, brothers and sisters, through this person of Paul, and more importantly, person of Jesus, see the true picture of Christian. A picture of true Christians who are just seeking the daily bread. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Whatever you do according to the word, but when you do those things, you need to be content. Otherwise, it says, it's not means of a great gain. Only it is means of great gain when it is accompanied by your contentment. Whatever you have, how much you have, you're content because that's God's will at this time for you. For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and coverings, with these we shall be content. Oh, how hard this is. If we have something to eat and something to wear, then we should be very happy. But how many of us are like that? Probably no one in this room, including myself. We have to cry out to God, have mercy upon us. Here we are just disobeying Him left and right, and we're seeking His grace. Do we live this Christian life that is portrayed to us by the Bible, or we just picture whatever Christian life must be in your sinful heart, you create that and saying, oh yeah, I'm doing fine. No, not doing fine. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge man into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sort of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Money itself is not evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you have that love of money, oh, it will be so hard for you to pray this. Give us the daily bread. But that's how God teaches us to pray. Give us each day daily bread. You know, anybody who says Christian life is easy, that person never lived Christian life. Christian life is impossible unless God blesses you with grace. His grace is the only thing that will enable us to live even close to what the Bible actually says. But God also tells us that one day we will be just like what the Bible says. Everything that God has commanded in the Bible, we will perfectly obey forever and ever in that glorious place. Salvation that Jesus Christ has brought to us made us that way now. So you must believe what kind of person you have become. You have become a person who would ask God for daily bread. You believe so that you may live accordingly. But living part has to come from your faith, because your own determination will not get you there. We can't live this life without God. But God says, I am living in you. I am with you. And He has already accomplished our spiritual reality, the reality of our heaven. We seek just the daily bread each day to witness the reality that this world is not everything to us. I mean, I lived 60 years. I don't think there was not even one day that I lived like this. I tried. But even today, I never lose hope. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, I will live like this forever. That's my faith. And I pray God that He will enable me to witness what I believe in my life. And Bible tells me that that life begins with my faith in what Christ has done, what He has accomplished for us. So I believe. But my faith is not perfect. Oh, not even close. But brothers and sisters, this is what I want you to understand. There has to be, at least, there has to be in your heart this struggle. Don't think that not living like this is just okay. There has to be some struggle every single day as you see yourself not obeying God. And we're not just talking about, oh, don't commit adultery. Well, I never even meet any girl today, so I'm okay. No, that's not what God is saying. Your whole life, your heart, your focus, your dream and your plan and your purpose, it's just not biblical. And there has to be that struggle. Even as you pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, there has to be that struggle, because what you're asking and what you desire is not the same. And you have to ask God and hold on to Him, because He is the only one who could truly change you, that He will pour out grace upon you. That you need Christ every single moment of your life. Let me end this. We seek the daily bread each day to witness the reality that our purpose in this world is not about eating well and living healthy. To seek this world and the things of this world as we pray for the daily bread is contradiction. It's just so ridiculous. Lastly, let us remember as we pray this prayer, give us each day our daily bread. You are saying, give us our daily bread. There is no such a thing as an individual Christianity. I don't care what this American culture has given you. Get rid of that. Individualism, when it comes to this kind of stuff, it's not Christian. We're together. Even as we pray, we're praying for all of us. Not just that He will give you daily bread, but give us our daily bread. We are not seeking just for ourselves. We are seeking for all of us, for all our brothers and sisters. And all of us will receive the daily bread so that we will live our lives for the glory of our God. This is the true picture of the true citizens of the kingdom of God. This is who you are. And we just need to believe it and live accordingly to bring glory and honor to God. Brothers and sisters, keep seeking Jesus Christ. That's only hope. Seeking His grace. Without it, there's no hope. You know it, I know it. And I'm just keep telling you, hold on to Christ. Because even if I say, okay, go out and do this or do that, I know you can't. And you will not do it. Next week, it will be just same thing. That's why if there will be any success in our lives, Christian success, you got to hold on to Christ. He's the only one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for teaching us how to pray. And by teaching us how to pray, You also show us who we are, who we truly are in Jesus Christ, and what is our desire, what is our purpose. You show all that as You teach us how to pray. Let us understand the truth, Your word, and let us continue to seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness. As we pray, let us witness who we are. Even by these words that we pray, we show who we are and what we are. We thank You. We love You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.